Yeah, fantastic. Well, mate, we wish you the best. It's exciting to have a runner. You've got a genuine chance in the Railway, number 16, Tradesman. Good luck to you, Todd. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Andrew.
Todd Harvey there, co-trainer of Tradesman in the Railway. And in the tab.com.au market, Perfect Reflection is the joint favourite with McIntosh for the Wallace Stable at $5.50, Regis at $7.50, Tradesman the next best at $9, Scales of Justice at $9.50, and the other one that I mentioned there, Heartstarter at $15. And in the other one, the Sky Racing WA Guineas, the filly for Neville Parnham, Ali Kazoom, is the favourite at $5, over Soul Special at $6, Whispering Brook at $6, and Humanity is at $7. Those markets there for Perth Racing on Saturday, available at tab.com.au. I just wanted to finally mention before we go to the news with Gemma and then Tab Talk with the golf, the Australian Open golf, and also A-League to be covered. Last night at Happy Valley, Nashua Willer copped two suspensions, one involving a jockey coming off right close to the line. Nashua Willer starts a penalty on December 7 and doesn't come back until January 5 as it stands right now. And as it stands right now, he misses the December international meeting. So a hefty two suspensions last night for Nashua Willer. As I say, he's out from December 7 to January 5. After the break with news, it's Tab Talk.
It's 11:01. Good morning. I'm Gemma Cutting. A 30-year-old man has been stabbed in the stomach during an argument outside Hornsby's Railway Hotel last night. He's believed to have intervened while a couple were arguing. A 54-year-old man was charged and will appear in court today. Workplace Health and Safety are investigating the deaths of two French tourists yesterday while they were snorkelling north of Cairns. A 74-year-old woman and 76-year-old man, who aren't related, are believed to have suffered heart attacks. The probe will also look at what treatment they received. And voluntary euthanasia laws in South Australia have been defeated by one vote in the lower house this morning. Overnight it had passed a second reading vote, but the 15th attempt to pass such a bill was thwarted by Speaker Michael Atkinson, who cast his vote after MPs were deadlocked at 23 all. In sport, former Test captain Trevor Holmes has been named as Cricket Australia's interim chairman of selectors after Rod Marsh stood down yesterday. National talent manager Greg Chappell has joined the panel on an interim basis. Chairman David Peaver says there's no deadline for naming permanent members of the panel. Meanwhile, the ICC is investigating footage from the second test, which shows Faf du Plessis licking the ball at Belrive Oval with a white lolly in his mouth. It appears to be tactics similar to those used during the 2005 Ashes series in England to enhance the ball's swing. In the opening round of the Australian Open, Jamie Arnold still leads at 4 under par through 10 holes. Six players are tied second on 3 under, including Curtis Luck and Jordan Spieth, who struggled to find his swing early on. Kiwis coach David Kidwell says his team must start strong in the Four Nations final if they're to keep Australia on the back foot. New Zealand are yet to beat the Kangaroos this year, suffering three losses from as many games. The final will be played on Monday morning Australian time at the home of Liverpool Football Club, Anfield. Simona Di Silvestro will stay with Nissan for her full season debut next year in the Supercars Championship, and Football Federation Australia will formalise a criteria for A-League expansion by early next year as bidders queue up for inclusion in the competition. South Melbourne are the latest to publicly signal their interest, joining the likes of the Brisbane Strikers, Wollongong and Tasmania. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
As the stars of the Spring Carnival have a well-earned spell, here at Sky Sports Radio, we continue to bring you the very best racing service.
There looks to be a little bit of speed there, so with these two-year-olds, it all comes down to who comes out on the right foot.
Our vast and experienced team of form analysts spread throughout the country pass on their mail every day.
We've hit the reset button and I could not be happy with it.
Across thoroughbreds, harness and greyhounds, we capture every moment. Right through summer, trust your racing leader. Sky Sports Radio.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
I lost the beer gut.
My husband lost his beer gut.
Our dad lost his beer gut.
Thanks to the Manshake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
Are you ready for the all-new Muswellbrook Cup Day? New date, new features,
An exciting new experience, the Upper Hunters' premier social event this spring. There'll be colts galore and fillies to adore. A Racing New South Wales showcase event featuring the $80,000 Holly Dean Estate Muswellbrook Gold Cup. Are you ready for quality country racing, relaxed summer style? Muswellbrook Cup Day, Friday, November 25. Visit muswellbrookraceclub.com.au.
We're counting down to the prestigious Inter-Dominion Championships in Perth. Can Lenny the Shark claim back-to-back titles? Or will a new standard-bred star be born? Join us from November 25 for the first round of Inter-Dominion Heats here on Sky Sports Radio.
They're off.
Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And 6 past 10, good morning everyone. Sean Cosgrove and at tab.com.au, Trent Langscale. Good morning, Trent. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you, Cosy.
That's good. We've got a big day coming up. We're going to talk to Brandon O'Neill. He is absolutely, just smiling at the moment with the Sydney FC, isn't he?
Going absolutely beautifully. 6 from 6. So all smiles there for many people there at Sydney FC.
And a big day of racing today at Scone. It's a ripper meeting there. We'll have a chat with one of the legends of the area, Robert Thompson, a bit later on, about his rides today as well.
Now, he's got a fair few on the card, 4 in total, so hopefully for the followers there, Robert, he's able to get a couple of home there at Scone this afternoon.
Now, we have got the golf getting underway too at Royal Sydney. This is going to be fantastic, the Australian Open from Channel 7. Paddy Welsh joins us now. Morning, Pat, how are you?
Morning, guys, how are you?
Good. Now, we're looking
As a fairway commentator, I'm happy. The conditions
here
are just perfect.
Yesterday they had the Pro-Am, and I suppose, do you get any sort of a sight or a line on players through that?
Oh, look, they're out there pretty much testing. So the direct answer to that question is probably not. I mean, they've done their really hard work over the Monday and Tuesday, and yesterday was really have a bit of fun with the guests and the celebrities who arrived, and there were plenty of them yesterday. And, you know, it's just putting the finishing touches to what they think. I mean, someone like Adam Scott, for example, I spoke at length with him yesterday. He said there's definitely a little bit of an advantage in some of these Aussie guys who have played Royal Sydney a lot, as opposed to Jordan, who has come out and played the Australian, obviously, the last couple of years, but hasn't seen Royal Sydney. So he said, yes, there's a little bit of an advantage just knowing the nuances of what happens around the greens and if you miss a green, how to get it up and down. But, look, right now, conditions are perfect. The likes of Jordan Spieth are 2 and 3 under already. Curtis Luck, our brilliant young amateur, who's headed to Augusta, he's 3 or 4 under. Jamie Arnold, who's not quite as well known as him, was 4 under 3-9. So there's some low scoring out there, and they should be. The conditions are ideal.
Well, it sounds like it there, Pat, because as you mentioned, the conditions, if you've got the morning tee time, you can take advantage of it. And just looking at the leaderboard right now, and obviously teed off at 6:50 this morning, but Curtis Luck is at 4 under along with Jamie Arnold, who you spoke about, and Jordan Spieth is at 2 under. So good starts there, but Curtis Luck, there's plenty of promise there about this promising amateur, and you touched on it as well, heading to the Masters, and there's a lot spoken about him heading into the Australian Open.
I had a chance to interview Harrison Endicott and Brett Coletta yesterday afternoon, and boy, they are impressive young men, believe me. Testimony to what Golf Australia has done with our young, our up-and-comers, both men and women. They can be very, very proud of the way they handle themselves on and off the course. And, yeah, you're right, they are bristling with talent. And you know what? All of them said to me as one that, of course, they'll be nervous when they stand on the first tee today. But they have no fear. That fear is not in their psyche these days. They believe that they can match it with the pros. They believe they can match it with the top pros. I mean, you've got the World 5 and 6 here at Royal Sydney this weekend. They're ready to go. They're ready to go fight for as much as they can out there.
It's interesting, Pat, when you look, Rod Pampling picks up a tournament the other day, and here he is about a $21 pop.
I know. He's a bit of value. I think the other one we were looking at is Jonathan Vegas, who, you know, well and truly, a top player on the US Tour. He was $31 or $41. I think a couple of our commentary team just had a small investment on that at the $31. But there's some good value there. And look, someone like Pamps plays an Australian Open well. obviously knows this golf course very, very well and comes in good form. I interviewed him the other day too, and he is just elated after that win of the States in Vegas. So I'm, you know, and we're all so happy for him because he's such a good bloke, and it just guarantees his future. I mean, he's got an exemption on the US Tour now until he's ready for the seniors.
Cozzy, I didn't realise that Pat, along with Peter Donegan and Ian Baker Finch, were such whales. Jonathan Vegas is now $26 for the Australian Open. So good for yourselves there, boys, in the box. But Jordan Spieth, he's out there at the moment, Pat. Once again, 2-under through 12. But we get to see Adam Scott. He tees off at 10 past midday. And they are the headline acts. I mean, in the betting, Adam Scott's $3.50 and Jordan Spieth at $4. So they are the quality players. You've got Jeff Ogilvie, Aaron Baddeley, a dual winner. But it's great to have Jordan Spieth out here. He made his name, well, certainly on our shores a couple of years ago with that fantastic final round that propelled him, we'll say, at least to all those heights he had in 2015. And Adam Scott, as always, just such a popular figure. And he's determined after what occurred when he lost on the 72nd hole to Rory McIlroy. He did speak about that during the week.
He did. He spoke about it at the press conference yesterday. And I was, I think, in the unfortunate position of having to handle the presentation that day. And Adam was as steamed as I've seen someone. I mean, as you know, probably remember, he shoved his 8-iron over to the right, couldn't get it up and down, and he came in there with a one-shot lead, and Rory finished up making birdie to win the tournament. So, yeah, look, he was steamed, and it stings. So, you know, some losses sting more than others, and that one has definitely stuck in his craw for a couple of years now. And he said, you know, I won't be letting it slip. Like I did that year, because he, you know, as I said, he only had 8-iron in his hand. He had a good look at the 18th green, and he committed the cardinal tin. He went where it was almost impossible to get the ball up and down. But look, apart from that, he said he's in good form. I spoke to Jordan again at length the other day, guys, and just great to have him back third year in a row. I mean, almost honorary Aussie status now, isn't it? But no, he's a Texan. He has a great affinity for down here. He's bought another one of his managers out to show him Sydney because he said it's just such a fun city. And, look, they're having a ball on and off the course, believe me. And he's such a great ambassador. We got, you know, sometimes we forget he's only 23.
Gee whiz, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, and I know it's a cliche, but, you know, old head, young shoulders and all that sort of thing. But he just handles everything with aplomb. He had probably 50 or 60 pieces of merchandise that he had to sign the other day. And, you know, he had to handle my interview. He had to handle a press conference. And, you know, he just does it all with aplomb, with grace. And he's just such a generous young man. And, I mean, all power to him. I know he's dropped down to 5 and the world Stenson's passed him. But I don't think that he'll be that low for very long. I mean, he said he's tinkering with his swing just a little. And he'll be back there. He'll be back there sooner rather than later.
Now, any smokies today, Pat?
Well, look, apart from Vegas, I'm probably just, you know, going to have a little bit each way, Pampling. I know he's 47, but, you know, as we all know, he's just come from a win, which is as good a form lead-up as you can. I think there's reasonably generous odds about Pamps as well.
Yes, yeah, $21, Pat, for Rod Pampling.
$21 line. You know, why not?
Yep.
Why wouldn't you take someone who's just won in the States? He's putter ran hot, you know, those final three or four holes. And, you know, you need to putt well to win any golf tournament. And he's, you know, he's not a long hitter, but you don't need to be a bomber around here. You don't need to be able to smack the cover off it around here because you can work around Royal Sydney with the length of Pampling and you can play well and score well here.
Right, terrific. Pat, good to catch up. And hopefully we might be able to have another yarn tomorrow, an update. And we'll be watching, of course, on Channel 7.
Pleasure, guys. Yeah, we start at midday.
Good on you, Pat. Pat Welch joining us there from Channel 7, Trent. Looking at the A-League and Sydney Footy Club doing fantastically at the moment. Brandon O'Neill must be absolutely wrapped. How are you, Brandon?
I'm good, boys. I'm good. Always a pleasure to be on. How are you, lads? You good?
Yeah, terrific. Are you walking around like a cat with a grin on you, like a cat coming out of a fish shop at the moment?
Oh, I do that anyway, lads. I'm smiling my face. So, but, yeah, it's a bit wider now that we're... we've started so well.
Well, you should be smiling, Brandon, because 6 from 6 to start the season. I don't think even in your wildest dreams you could have predicted that. And the victory against your old boys on Sunday, 4-1 against Perth. So just a little bit that you probably said after the game, thank you, boys, just well done. And I'll just enjoy the 3 points and you can enjoy the flight back to across the Nullarbor.
Yeah, look, like you said, the start that we've had has been brilliant. We've played a fair number of good teams and we've able to play a very good brand of football against them, and more importantly get to get the 3 points. But we've sat down after every game and analysed the match, and in each game we felt that we can improve in something. So I think the majority of the players feel we're only kind of playing at 60% of our maximum kind of capacity, and that's scary for some teams now, because if we're winning on the weekend convincingly and we feel that there's more to come, who knows what when we put a 90-minute performance together, who knows what the scoreline will be. So we're very confident at the moment. We're playing some good football, and as you said, yeah, it's always nice to get a good victory against your old foe, that's for sure.
Brandon, can you just run that by us again? You flogged them 4-1, and you're telling us you're only playing at 60%. To use a racing analogy, are you getting up dead?
Look, I know it might seem a bit strange and a bit weird to people, but we honestly believe that. We went through the video actually a couple of days ago, and there's two aspects of the game that we can improve on. We had a very slow start against the Glory. We gave away the ball a bit too much, and just a few kind of lapses in concentration gave them opportunities. So if we can nullify that against Brisbane and continue to do the things that we're doing well, and play out a full 90-minute match, because we think we played very well for about 65, 70 minutes, but there's still 20 minutes of improvement left. So it's exciting. It's exciting. So, yeah, it's good.
Should Brisbane roar then just not bother turning up?
Well, they need to turn up because we want to play a match.
All right, OK.
So, hopefully, first and foremost, they do turn up. And secondly, it'll be a very good game. They've got a great record at home. They're a very good side, but they're coming up against the challenge that they haven't faced this season before, and we're going over there to first and foremost put in a 90-minute performance, play the brand of football that we've been playing, and get the 3 points.
Cozzy, I can understand why Brandon's saying that they do need to improve a bit, Sydney FC, because they've actually conceded in the last couple of weeks, which didn't occur during the season, Brandon. But it has been great for yourselves, because we've talked about it when we've had you on a couple of times already this season, that the attacking prowess has been great, but you have been able to knuckle down defensively, and that has been a big part, and that's, what, as we've talked about, along with Graham Arnold, what's probably pleased him the most so far in the first six rounds.
Yeah, look, the defensive aspect of our game has always been strong, and we always thought if we can add the attacking kind of prowess that we know we were capable of, we'd be a very hard team to beat, and we'd be able to play some very good football. And it's just been very enjoyable to be a part of this team, to be able to play the football that we've been doing, and to be able to get the 3 points. And I can't speak highly of I couldn't speak highly enough of the lads that I'm playing around, and the experience they bring, the attacking boys and our strikers and our attacking midfielders have just been absolutely phenomenal. And then when we do try something and it doesn't come off and we lose the ball, our defence is there to win it back for us straight away and give us more opportunities to play. So, look, I'm just really enjoying my football, and I hope there's bigger things to come in the coming rounds.
I think we'll change your name from Brandon to Winks.
God, that'd be all right, I take that. That'd be probably a bit harsh on the Wonder Bear. I'm nowhere near her, but it'd be nice to kind of be reflected on it.
All right, now look, we've got Wanderers taking on Melbourne City.
Yes, that'd be an interesting game. I think Wanderers, although it kind of hurts me to say this, they've actually not been playing that bad. They've just kind of not been getting the rub of the green. The football-wise, they've been trying to play, and Melbourne City, we all know that they play some very attacking football, and they're a good team to watch. So that'd be an exciting game. I'll probably tip a draw in that, because both teams will at least try and play and try and press. So it'll be an entertaining game to watch.
You'll be keeping an eye on Melbourne City just at the moment as well, Brennan, because before you know it, it's a couple of Wednesdays' time until the FFA Cup final, so you've had the great start to the A-League season, but probably, aside from yourselves, you've got Melbourne City, Brisbane, and probably Melbourne Victory just vying for perhaps the second-best team so far in the A-League, so you've got, as I said, the A-League coming up, but perhaps a little bit of an eye to perhaps a trophy being awarded in a couple of Wednesdays' time.
Oh, of course, we can't wait for that Wednesday where we can step out and finally play in the cup final. We've been itching to play in it, and And yeah, like I said, Melbourne City a worthy finalist, a great finalist. But we have no doubt we're going over to Melbourne to bring back that cup to Sydney.
And for yourself, obviously a big one on Saturday night, because as you've experienced so far this season, you've had the huge crowd for the opening round at ANZ Stadium with Western Sydney against Sydney FC, and you've had Melbourne Victory, who apart probably outside of Western Sydney, the biggest rival there. You had them at home a couple of weeks ago, but another new challenge on Saturday night up to Brisbane. There'll probably be, you'd say, 20 to 25,000 at Suncorp Stadium, and they're building it up with the old Queensland versus New South Wales rivalry, so a bit of State of Origin type feel for this clash on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant what they're trying to do, because it just makes for, it all builds up to be able to produce a very good game of football, I think. And going down there, like you said, it'd be 20,000 to 25,000. We thrive off that. We love the big crowd, and we love playing in the big games, and we love playing against the best players, and they've got some very good footballers and very good blokes that play for Brisbane. And I think that going down there and being able to take that kind of record away from them and be able to play the football we have been playing, it's going to be a great challenge, and one we're all looking forward to, and we're all looking forward to getting the 3 points.
Yeah, you're just looking forward to flogging them on the home ground, aren't you?
Well, that'd be nice. I'd take that any day of the week.
I reckon you would. Now, we've got Newcastle Jets Central Coast Mariners, the Battle of the Coasters.
Yeah, another kind of F3 derby, as you'd like it. And they're both teams that, They give it their all when they play. They're very very wholehearted, and they'll try and try and try. And I guess that's all the fans can expect or ask of them. So, yeah, that should be an intriguing game. Jets have got a few injuries, and the Mariners have obviously playing a new brand of football under Paul Ocon. But I actually expect to see a few goals, as you would in a derby, and a few good challenges.
And also, there's another match on Friday night, Brandon, Perth against Adelaide United. Obviously, all kidding aside from last Sunday, you probably keep an eye just on Perth with some of your old friends over there. But just probably the surprise so far this season, they did get off to a slow start last season, but Adelaide United just haven't been able to get out of the blocks at all so far this season.
Yeah, look, it's been a strange one for Adelaide, because they've had such a big turnover of players, and they've had to kind of bring in what they've been able to bring in, and it was always going to be a challenge for them to do what they did last year. But they're setting themselves up to do exactly what they did last year. If they can get a win against Glory Friday night, who knows what can happen. We saw that last year, the season they had at the first 8 rounds, not getting a win, and then they went on to win the championship. So look, anything's possible in football, and some of my good mates at Glory won't want that to happen, that's for sure. They'll be out, especially after us beating them last week. They'll be wanting to getting a victory on the board as soon as possible. But I think Josh Risden coming back into the fold for Perth Glory is a big plus for them. I think they missed him down the right a lot on the weekend, and him coming back from Socceroos duty will definitely bump up their cards, that's for sure. And I'm not just saying that because he's good, mate. Yeah. I think he's a very good footballer as well.
You almost sounded genuine in your compassion then.
I actually am, because he's a good mate of mine. He's a top broker. He's a top footballer as well. So, yeah, they did miss him. They did miss him last week. But they've got good quality around the pitch, Glory. And I think if they just utilise that with the likes of Keogh and Castro, Chrissy Harrold, and they've got a great midfield and a great defence in Alex Grant, and I think if they can utilise that, especially at being at home, I think they'll be tough to beat.
Now, I've got to ask you, Brandon, the Spring Carnival is over. How many have you been, a regular visitor to the ATM, or are you still trying to unload all the cash you won?
I didn't have a bad spring. I tipped Armand in the Melbourne Cup. That was a big collect for me. I was happy as Larry. All the lads down the training were happy as Larry. I tipped them into it as well. And then a few races here and there I was able to collect. But the last few days of the Spring Carnival, like all punters, were a bit, I'll just say, rocky road. There was a few winners, but there was a few losers as well. But there's big racing on in my hometown in Perth with the railway on this weekend. And I was very, very, very keen on he or she before the barriers with Craig Williams aboard. And I just think that barrier just kind of kills its chances a little bit. But I think it'll run definitely a pole race. But with the barriers and with kind of how the race is going to be run up, I think I'll be on a WA jockey in William Pike and Perfect Reflection, I think.
Well, the good thing is everyone knows where to find you if it doesn't win.
That's exactly right. I'll be on a plane back to Perth. I won't
be interested in it. Cozzy, I reckon Brad is just keeping his cards close to his chest about how well he went during the spring, because just happened to notice on your Twitter account in the past week, Brendan, you've got involved with Dynamic Syndications.
I have indeed. They're me and another 9 boys down at the club. It's something that we've kind of always wanted to do. Not only is to be a part of something together, but we all have an interest in it, and we all thought it'd be brilliant to own a share in it. So Dynamic Syndications are one of Sydney FC's corporate sponsors, and I had a chat to Dean and Adam Watt, and they were more than happy to help us out. And yeah, we're in a lovely horse, a command by Chase, and he's a 2-year-old now. He's just finished a little bit of work, and he's going to be hopefully a very good 3-year-old runner. So yeah, we're very excited to see how he goes. He's gorgeous. You want to see him, lads? He's an absolute rooster.
Ooh, it's a nice description.
Yeah, he's a very good looking colt.
All right. Now, are you married or got a girlfriend?
I have indeed, yeah. I've got a girlfriend back in Perth.
Did you tell her about how much you won, or did you only disclose a little bit of it?
No, I told her. I actually did. I tell her how much I won, but as long as I'm treating her well with the winnings, as most women would say, they're happy as Larry. So she's getting a few good Christmas presents now, and she can't complain.
We'll change this segment to Life with Brandon.
Life with Brandon O'Neill. How to keep women happy.
There you go, mate. Great to catch up, and we'll talk to you next week. Good luck.
Thank you very much. I'll speak to you soon, boys.
Good on you, Brandon. Brandon O'Neill is an absolute character, Trent. At 27 past 10 now, you get some markets there?
Just for that match on Saturday night, Cozzy, Brisbane at 260, the draw 340, and Sydney FC 250. That is the pinnacle of round 7 in the A-League.
All right, big day racing today at Scone. They got a great meeting there, and one manager just goes there, and he rides winners every time he goes. He's getting RSI from riding winners of latest, Robert Thompson. Morning, Robert. How are you?
Yeah, good, Cozzy. How are you?
I'm good. You're having a ripper time. You're riding doubles at Taree, Beaumont, Port Macquarie, everywhere.
Don't put the mocker on me, mate.
All right. You're going ordinary.
things are travelling all right. Coming up to Christmas.
Oh, the turkey will be big this year.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, now today it's Scone. You get some nice rides against the wind, an interesting one in the first for Peter Bloomfield. This is showing a bit of pace every run it's had.
Yeah, Cozzy, I haven't rode in a race. I did ride in a trial when Alan Benham had it and showed a bit of speed that day and showed a bit of speed at a couple of starts. Yeah, 900 metres. Drew a good gate, so we need speed over 900.
So hit the ground and run?
That's it.
And keep running.
That's right.
All right. Now, the second, Mr. Shilton, interesting horse. He's a 7-year-old. He's yet to win, but he hasn't been far off the mark on a number of occasions. He seems to have his races spaced a bit.
Yeah, as you said,
Cozzy,
7-year-old, hasn't won one. He's taking his time, isn't he? But anyway, hopefully, I did run a place on him one day at Newcastle, so hopefully... he decides to put his head right out first today.
All right, now we start to move on to Rod Northam. So you've got Don't Doubt Her in race 5. You won on this 2 starts ago at Scone.
Yeah, nice filly, mate. She won first up. It was a very good effort. She raced back a little bit and was 3 wide, but really, really charged the line. It was a real good tough win. And Rod took her to Sydney. She ran in one of those highways and she didn't have a lot of luck. She was in a wide alley and her run was still okay. Up in distance, which will suit, back on a home track will suit. I think he's had a gear change. I mean, blinkers may be going on today.
They are, yeah, blinkers on.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll run very well.
All right, and then you go, well, hopefully, a race-to-race double almost for, no, not a race-to-race, but another race later for Rod. You're on Not For Maggie in the seventh, and this is second up, and it's only had one crack second up and won.
Yeah, that's correct. I haven't rode her in a race yet, Cossie, but I've trialled her a couple of times. Apparently, a first-up run at Bathurst was pretty good. She was a little bit unlucky, so, as you say, back up in distance and back on a home track. Yes, I'm looking for a good run from her as well.
Couple of nice rides there, Robert. Can you separate them or not?
No, not really, Cossie. If you screwed me arm, mate, I'd say he's
feeling
there. Yeah, don't doubt her.
All right, for Rod. Yeah. And these days, you must just be salivating when you see the prize money. It's fantastic. Robert, isn't it? Right through the state.
Yeah, my word. It's finally come, Cossie. That's what all country folks look forward to, and yeah, it's been really great.
It's
wonderful.
Well, good luck today, Robert. Let's hope you just keep chalking them up. Let's hope there's a few more there to get the Christmas turkey on the table.
That's good, mate. And I'm glad you sound a bit better than early in the week, because I was really going to send a bit of jungle juice down to you in a drench or something and fix your ride up.
Well, even if I didn't drink it, I could have rubbed it on my chest. It would have done me some good somewhere.
I'm sure it would have done, mate.
I had distemper. I'll give you the tip now. Don't worry.
All right, man. You didn't sound too good.
No, I was coming good. It was all infected sinuses, aspirin stuff, Robert. But we'll be right. I'll be racing in a nasal strip or something like that.
you'll improve all
then. I will. Good on you, mate. Good luck today.
Right on, mate. Thank you.
Robert Thompson joining us there. Always an absolute pleasure to catch up with him. And he's got four great rides today there at Scone as well. It is, and he's, what's the market there, Trent?
Cozzy, just for the four. So in race one, Against the Wind at 14. In race two, Mr. Schultz also 14. In race five, Don't Doubt Her, the $2.60 favourite. And in race seven, Not For Maggie, $2.90 equal second favourite.
All right. We will talk to you throughout the day, Trent.
Thanks, Cozzy.
Trent Langscale there, tab.com.au. It is 29 to 11 at Sky Sports Radio. Let's update the latest news and sport with Gemma Cutting.
Thanks, Sean. Adam Voges will use today's Sheffield Shield clash against Tasmania at the Wacker to prove his worth for the upcoming third test.